You know, there's something, every Yontif is special, but there's something very, very special about Shavuos, the sort of the purity of the Yontif, you know? Every other Yontif, you know, every mitzvah is fueled by Torah. Torah u'mitzvahs. And so every Yontif, you know, sort of approaches us with big mitzvahs, with a lot of mitzvahs. Pesach, Sukkot, Rosh Hashanah, you know, there's mitzvahs. There's only one Yontif that comes with a certain purity and sort of just revealing behind the scenes of every other Yontif and really everything else we do, which is Shavuos, Torah. Just the purity of Torah itself. There's something very special about that. So let's talk about Torah. Let's talk about Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah in Shavuos. All right, so you know, everything, there's a principle in the Svar Makdashim that everything can be defined based on its beginning. Based on its beginning. Everything is based on its beginning. So in terms of the mitzvah of learning, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and sort of the experience of a yid vis-a-vis Torah itself, that has to be defined based on its beginning. So what's the first experience of a Jew vis-a-vis learning Torah, vis-a-vis his connection or her connection to Torah? So it's based on the Gemara. The Gemara says that every mitzvah has a chinuch version of it. So Talmud Torah presumably also has a chinuch version of it, although it might not be, there's ways to think of it not so much as chinuch, but practically speaking, the first experience that a Jew has with Torah, says the Gemara, is that once the child is able to speak and is old enough to articulate, so the parent teaches the child, boy or girl, the parent teaches the child to psukim. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Torah Tziv Elonu Moshe, Mirosha Kilos Yaakov. Those are the two psukim. So if that's the first experience that a Jew has with Torah, so it must be that sort of sums it up. So let's understand why those two psukim, why those two psukim. So the truth is, I mean, you could just say those are very chashuv psukim, but there's many. To say that one pasuk is more chashuv than the other, so, I mean, you know, you can't say that. So it must be that there's a certain message that's being said to the child, which is the essence of what Yiddishkeit is and the essence of what Torah is about, that somehow is being conveyed by these two psukim. And one pasuk would not be able to say the full story, and these two psukim together convey the story. So what is that story that these two psukim are trying to say? So the truth is, there's a famous Gemara. The Gemara says in Makkos, the Gemara is based on a pasuk. The pasuk says, the Jewish people say, Achaz dibra lakim, shtayim zu shamati. Hashem said one thing and we heard two things. Achaz dibra lakim, shtayim zu shamati. Says the Gemara, what does that pasuk mean? So the Gemara says it means the following thing, that anoichi v'lo yilucha mipi ha'gvur shamanu. That by Har Sinai, the Jewish people heard from Hashem directly the first two dibrais of anoichi Hashem lekecha, I'm Hashem your God, lo yilucha, you shall not have any other God. And the Rabbanu Shalom said both those dibris, b'bas achas, in one sentence, one dibur. Something that the mouth can't say, and the ear, human ear, can't hear two things at the same time. But this was the pella of that experience. Achas dibur lakim. The Rav Shmuel said one thing of anoich v'liyelecha together, and shtayim zushimati, but we heard both. But those are the two things that we heard from Hashem. Says the Gemara, and the Gemara explains based on this another pasuk. Torah tziv alonu Moshe, Mirosha kilos Yaakov. Moshe Rabbeinu commanded us, he gave us the Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu was the shliach of Hashem to give us the Torah. Says the Gemara, Torah is Bigmatria Tov Resh Yud Aleph. Torah is Bigmatria 611. What about, it should be equal 613. The answer is those two, the other two, which is Anoich V'liyelech of Yagvur Shemanu. So Torah, Tziv Elanu Moshe. Moshe told us 611. Anoich V'liyelech of Yagvur Shemanu. So that's what the Gemara says. Achaz Dibur Lekim Shtayz V'Shemati is Anoich V'liyelech. Torah, Tziv Elanu Moshe is the other 611, which is contained in the rest of Torah. So when we teach a child that pasuk Torah Tziv Elonu Moshe, that's a reference to 611 mitzvahs. Torah Tziv Elonu Moshe, that's how Chazal interpreted 611, Moshe Rabbeinu commanded us. So we also have to convey to the child the other two, which are Anoichi V'Le'ilecha. So the pasuk of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad sums up the other two psukim. Hashem Elokeinu means that there's Anoich Hashem Elokecha and Hashem Echad. There's no other God. So those two sentences that we say to the child, the Shema Yisrael, and Torah Tzivu Lanu Moshe, that's all of Yiddishkeit. That's all the 613. That's the simple, probably one of the simple pshatim of why we say that to the child. But the problem is, there's a number of issues. First of all, if that's what we're trying to convey, and we're dealing with a little kid, right? So we understand that we would try to convey this message as simply as possible, right? Obviously, we want kids to get accustomed to learning Torah and to know Psukim, but we're talking about very, very little kid. The Gemara says, the Rambam Paskins in Hilchos Talmud Torah, even for older people, like when you have older Talmidim, La'ilam Yishana Adam La'Talmida Derech Ketzara, you should always try to say things as succinctly and as precise and as short as possible without making it too complicated. Allah has come to read them with little kids. So if what you're trying to convey to a kid is that the Rebbe Shalom gave us 613, so just say that. I don't know. Maybe you can find a pasuk or something. I don't know. If the message is that we have 613 mitzvahs, then make that. Let that be the message in whatever language the kid understands. We have to make a whole complicated. That really, you have to find the pasuk that's Meramis to the 611. Another pasuk is Meramis to the other two. You miss. Put them together. Oh, you got 613. And the kid doesn't have what you're trying to convey anyway. So it's overly complicated. But the truth is, there's a more fundamental question. That means that the word Torah tziv alonu Moshe, Torah means 611 mitzvahs. The pasuk says, Torah says Hashem tamima, mishivas nafesh, Torah is complete. Torah, by its very definition, is shalim. That's what the Torah means. So how could it be that Torah, which is Torah says Hashem tamima, which is complete, and when we say Torah tziv alonu Moshe, it means incomplete. It means 611 out of 613. So that's incomplete. It's not just incomplete, it's missing the first two. So that's very incomplete. So how could Torah be a remiss to only 611 mitzvahs when Torah says Hashem Tamima, Meshivas Nafesh, Torah is complete, Torah is whole? So how could that be? Okay, so we'll put those questions to the side. We'll go like this. There's a Gemara in Maseches Brachos, and it's also Megillah, Brachos and Megillah. The Gemara quotes the following pasuk in Parshas Yisro, where it talks about Matan Torah. So it says in pasuk right before the Aseres Adibris are said. So it says, "You have a chumash here? Is there a chumash over here?" Before I butcher the pasuk, the last few words I remember. Let me just see if. Yeah, it was the right page. Yeah, the right page. Okay, so it says Vehi Kol Shayfer. That was on purpose. There was no right. There was no marker in the. Okay, Vehi Kol Shayfer. Hoylech v'chazek moed. We're supposed to give the shir tonight. Vehi Kol Shayfer. Hoylech v'chazek moed. Right, the sound of the shayfer was increasingly strong. Moshe Yedaber. Moshe was speaking, V'lekim yanenu b'koil, and the Rabbanu Shlolam responded with a voice. So Moshe yadaber v'lekim yanenu b'koil. So the Gemara Brachas and the Gemara Megillah picks up, and this was mean v'lekim yanenu b'koil. I don't know. Moshe yadaber, v'lekim yadaber. I don't know what does it mean. Moshe is speaking, and the Rabbanu Shlolam is responding with a voice. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, the Gemara Darshins, Moshe yadaber v'lekim yanenu b'koil shel Moshe. In other words, the Gemara Darshins, the Taitches of Pasuk, that it means that the Rabbanu Shalom was also obviously speaking by Matan Torah. The Rabbanu Shalom controlled Kaviyachal his voice to be of the same volume as Moshe. So whatever volume Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking as a human being, the Rabbanu Shalom matched his voice. Moshe yadaber v'lekim yanenu b'koil shel Moshe. So they matched each other perfectly. That's the Gemara. Says the Gemara, we see from here, based on this, that the Meturgaman and the Medaber also have to have the same volume. That's the Gemara. So there's some scenario that the Gemara is referring to, which is where there's someone talking, but there's a Meturgaman. Meturgaman literally is a translator or a spokesman, something. When the speaker and the Meturgaman are communicating, just like over here, Elokim Yanenu B'Kailo Shel Moshe, Moshe and Hashem spoke of the same volume, so too, by this scenario, the speaker, I guess, whatever you want to call him, the original person, and the Meturgaman also have to speak in the same volume. what is the Gemara talking about? So when you think in the Gemara, when you see the word miturgaman, so usually the go-to scenario that you would think the Gemara is talking about is Kriyas HaTorah. Back in the day, and yeah, I think Taimonim still do this. No, yeah, they still do this. So they have the, which was the Balkari reads from the Torah, and then every Pasuk or whatever, someone else would be the miturgaman, that he would translate the Pasuk into Aramaic so that everyone could understand, or whatever the language would be. So the Aramaic, historically, that's what it was. So that's the miturgaman. So is that what the Gemara is talking about over here? That the miturgaman and the Balkari have to be speaking in the same volume? Or is it almost some other scenario? So there's the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah says the following thing. The Rambam is in Perek Dal in Hilchos Talmud Torah. He's talking about just the process of learning, the process of Rebbe with Talmidim in the yeshiva, in the Beis Medrash. Says the Rambam like this, Perek Dal Aloch Gimel, Im Haya Rav Malamin Mepiv LaTalmidim. If the Rebbe's teaching Talmidim directly, so Malamin's a good, Gvaldik, carry on. Says the Rambam, Vim Haya Malamin Adem Targim. But if the Rebbe is using a mitargim, like an in-between, so the Rebbe is saying something, and then the mitargim is conveying it to the Talmidim or the rest of the Olam, so then the procedure is as follows. The mitargim oime beinoy beina Talmidim. The mitargim should be positioned between the Rebbe and the Talmidim. The harav oimer le mitargim. The Rebbe says to the mitargim, the mitargim mashmila kol Talmidim. And the Metargim then says it over, whatever he heard, to the other Talmid. The Rambam goes on to talk about, could the Metargim add a little flowery language? Does it have to be verbatim? It's a shmooze in the Rambam. That's the process, says the Rambam. That's when the Rebbe is giving over a shmooze, he's giving over Torah to the Talmidim, and the Metargim is the in-between, sort of acting as the mouthpiece. Says the Rambam, Ukeshem Shoyalim. Now let's say the Talmidim have a question. They have a shayla. So if the system is set up with a matargim, then the Talmidim don't speak directly to the Rebbe. The Talmidim convey their shayla to the matargim, and the matargim speaks to the Rebbe. And this is the process, says the Rambam. Kishem shayla matargim. So when they ask a question to the matargim, who shayla Rav? So then the matargim is the one that conveys the question to the Rebbe. Varav meishal of matargim. And the Rebbe answers the matargim. Vamatargim meishal shayla. And the matargim gives it over to whoever asked the question. So the direct contact is between the Rebbe and the matargim. At all times. Says the Rambam further. Says the Rambam, when the Rebbe and the Metargim are talking to each other, not when the Metargim is publicizing what the Rebbe said, when the Metargim is asking the question and the Rebbe is responding, they're having their personal back and forth to clarify what should then be said. So says the Rambam, over there, the volumes of both of them have to be the same. The koil of the Rebbe and the koil of the Metargim, when the Metargim is speaking to the Rebbe privately, asking a question, getting a response, and so on, before he then says it over to the Olam, the volume has to be the same. At that time of She'el and Shuva, when the Metargim and the Rebbe are talking to each other, question and answer, and so on, that's the moment of when the volume has to be the same. Says the Rambam, but then when the Metargim gets the message, and he turns around as the microphone, to convey it to the people, avad his voice is going to be louder. That's why he's there. Because the Rebbe shouldn't have to be matriach himself. He didn't have microphones. So he's going to be the human microphone. Says the Rambam, the halacha, that the speaker, the original voice, and the matargim have to be the same volume. That's talking about by the Seder, the process of learning in the Beis Medrash, when you have this matargim system set up. And specifically when the matargim and the Rebbe are having their private back and forth, clarifying what then should be said. When it's actually then said, of course the Metargim raises his voice higher. But when they're talking to each other, it's the same thing. In other words, what do you see from the Rambam? That when the Pasuk says, Moshe Yadaber, V'lekim Yanenu B'koil, and says the Gemara, B'koil Shel Moshe, and this is the introduction of how Maimed Har Sinai took place, the model that sort of fits into is a model in the Beis Medrash, we have the Talmidim sitting and like sort of waiting, you know, what, anticipation to hear something, but the real conversation is taking place between the Rebbe and the Metargim. So what you see from here is an amazing thing, is that from this Rambam alone, you see that what was the Maimed of Har Sinai? The Aseres HaDibros that is being sort of headed by this Pasuk, Moshe, Dabar, Lakim, and Enev HaKoil, is a conversation between Hashem and Moshe. And the Jewish people maybe overheard it, or maybe we'll see in a second, maybe there was the next stage of then Moshe Rabbeinu turning around and acting as the microphone, telling everyone what he just heard. But the Iker Inyan of Maimed Har Sinai, Ad Kedei Kach, and the idea is like this, a base medrash and learning, we want to be modeled after Maimed Har Sinai. That's what the Gemara is saying, right? Whatever this Moshe Dabar Elokim Yanenu B'Kol, which is the defining feature of Maimed Har Sinai, is that the voice of Moshe and the voice of Hashem are of equal modulation. So that is, we're trying to model Talmud Torah to that. Every moment a person learns should be with a Bechin of Har Sinai. So we want to model that. So what part of the process of learning, so whatever part of the process of learning that we're modeling after this Nakuda, that tells you that this is the Iker Nakuda of Har Sinai. You understand? So the Iker, so the aspect of the process of learning that we're modeling after Maimed Har Sinai is this Nakuda of the Rebbe and the Metargim speaking to each other, reminiscent of Hashem and Moshe speaking to each other. Now what's interesting is as follows. By Maimed Har Sinai, Moshe and the Rabbanu Shalom spoke. That's what you see clearly from the Rambam, that they spoke to each other, and at that moment, it was Moshe Davar Elokim and Bekol. Now, after Moshe hears, there was also a second part of Har Sinai, which is Moshe Rabbeinu acting as the microphone, telling everyone what just happened. The Pasuk says, later on in Sefer Devarim, Anoichi Oimed Bein Hashem Beinechem. The Pasuk says clearly that Moshe Rabbeinu says, I stood between Hashem and you, similar to how the Metargim stands between the Rebbe and the Talmidim, when he's not having a conversation, when he's acting as the microphone. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, I did that. That's how I function too. So in other words, putting it all together, what you see is that by Maimon Har Sinai, there were both of these qualities. The Maimon Har Sinai experience, we'll have to break this down in a moment, a little bit more clarified. But by Maimon Har Sinai, we see that it was in the following scenario. You had step number one, which is like the Rebbe and the Metargim talking to each other, which is Moshe and Hashem talking to each other. And then you had step two, which is Moshe turning around, you know, breaking that conversation, and now telling the Olam what he just heard. So when the Pasuk says, Moshe yedaber v'lekim yanenu b'kol, which is summing up, which is the intro to Maimed Har Sinai, which one of those, of these parts, part one or part two, is being defined by that statement of Moshe yedaber v'lekim yanenu b'kol, and we're modeling Talmud Torah after that? So it seems Moshe yedaber v'lekim yanenu b'kol is the first part. Now, what's amazing is, and again, one more nekud and it'll become a little more clear. The truth is, we find in Chazal that this quality of Moshe Yadav Elokim Yanenu B'Kol, of the voices, of Hashem's voice and Moshe's voice being of the same volume, we find in Chazal clearly that this also was true in part two. When Moshe turns around and then says to Olam, what's going on, that halach, that concept of Moshe Yadav Elokim Yanenu B'Kol was also applied. How do I know that? The Yerushalmi says that whenever a Metargim is by Kriya Satorah, right? So by Kriya Satorah, what's happening? The Balkari says in Hebrew and stop, and then the Metargim translates that to the Olam in Aramaic. The Yerushalmi says that that process also is guided by this halacha, that the Metargim shouldn't, the volume of the Balkari, the volume of the Metargim, should be of the same footing, because Moshe Davar Elokim Yanenu B'Kol. The truth is, not only is that a Yerushalmi, the Rambam paskens like this also. The Rambam in Hilchas Tefillah, where he talks about Kriyas HaTorah, says the following thing. Says the Rambam, in the process of Kriyas HaTorah, where you have a Metargim, the Balkari saying in Hebrew, but no one chaps, and then the Metargim translates that for the Olam, says the Rambam in Perek Yudbeis, Nuchas Tefillah Lachi Yer Aleph, says the Rambam, both the Ein HaKoyer Rishoy Lagbiya Kol Yosem and the Metargim, the Balkari and the Metargim both have to have the same volume. So here's the interesting thing. Putting it all together, we find the following thing. Again, Maimed Har Sinai took place in two stages. You had Moshe and the Rabbanu Shalom talking to each other and, you know, figuring something out. And then you have Moshe Rabbeinu turning around and telling the Olam what happened. And you have this intro to Maimed Har Sinai, which is Moshe Davar Elokim Yanenu B'Kol, which is that whoever the players are by Maimed Har Sinai, they're speaking of the same volume. And presumably that rule applied to both stages in Maimed Har Sinai. Stage one of Moshe and Rabbanu Shalom speaking to each other, Moshe Davar Elokim Yanenu B'Kol. Stage two of Moshe turning around and telling the Olam what he just heard is also Moshe Darlo Kinyan of a cup. But yet, interestingly enough, when it comes to the process and the procedure of Talmud Torah in the Beis Medrash, Chazal were only makbid that it should model stage one of Maimon Har Sinai and not stage two. Because the Rambam is very clear that when it comes to the process of learning in the Beis Medrash, the hakpada of modeling it after Moshe Davar, Lekim, and of a coil, that they should be of the same volume, it's only, we only are makbid in the Beis Medrash for, to be makbid like that in terms of the first, the part of learning that model, that's sort of reminiscent to the first part of Maimon Har Sinai, of the Metargim and the Rebbe talking to each other. But as far as the second part, which is the Metargim turning around and telling the Olam what just the conversation you just had, when it comes to the Beis Medrash, it doesn't have to be reminiscent of Maimon Har Sinai. But when it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, which also we want to have it a Maimon Har Sinai Dikka experience, the Yerushalmi says that Kriyas HaTorah, a person has to, the Balkar has to stand. Why does the Balkar have to stand by Kriyas HaTorah? Because the Torah was given, Be'im of Yerushalmi, with fear and COVID, so Kriyas HaTorah should also be like that. So we have two, so now let's put it this way. We have two experiences in Jewish life that both of these experiences you want to model after Har Sinai. We have the learning in the Beis Medrash, we want to model after Har Sinai, and we have Kriyas HaTorah that we want to model after Har Sinai. And we know Maimon Har Sinai had two parts to it. You had Moshe and the Rabbanu Shalom talking to each other, and then you had Moshe conveying to the Olam what he just spoke about with Hashem. And both of those parts of Maimon Har Sinai both had this quality of what? That the voices were of even were of the same volume. Moshe Davar L'Kinyan HaBakar. But for some reason, when it comes to the experience of the Beis Medrash and Kriyas HaTorah, which we're modeling after Har Sinai, all of a sudden there's a difference. When it comes to Kriyas HaTorah, we're modeling Kriyas HaTorah after the second part of Maimon Har Sinai, which is Moshe telling the Olam what the Rabbanu Shalom said. And over there, we're makbid, Moshe Davar L'Kinyan HaBakar. That's why the Metargim says the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah, when he's conveying to the Olam what the Baal Kari just said, because no one has any idea what he was talking about, he has to keep the volume the same as the Baal Kari. The Baal Kari has to keep the volume the same as the Metargim. So Kriyas HaTorah, the whole experience of Kriyas HaTorah and the fact that we want to keep it Har Sinai dik is kol kuloi second part of Maimon Har Sinai. But the learning in the Beis Medrash, which we also want to model it after Har Sinai, the only part of the learning in the Beis Medrash that we're makbid should be Har Sinai dik is the part of the learning in the Beis Medrash that models after the first part of Har Sinai, of Moshe and the Rabbanu Shalom having a conversation by themselves that the Bachrim are trying to overhear, you know. But over there, that's the part that we're makbid of Moshe Davar L'Kinyan HaBakol. When that happened, when that's over, and now the Metargim just turns around and starts telling the Olam what happened, don't they speak as loud as you possibly can. So the question is why? If Maimon Har Sinai had these two parts, and both of these parts had this hakpada of Moshe Davar L'Kinyan HaBakol, even the second part as well, the Haraya Kriyas HaTorah. So why is it that by the learning the Beis Medrash, where we're also trying to model it after Har Sinai, we're only makbid on modeling it after the first part of Har Sinai? We could have easily made learning in the Beis Medrash kol kulei Kriyas Maimon Har Sinai dik. The first part of the Rebbe and the Metargim talking to each other, that would be Moshe Davar L'Kinyan HaBakol, that would model the first part. And then when the Metargim turns around and talks to the Olam, that would model the second part. And the halacha would be that he should also keep the volume to the same as what the Rebbe spoke, just like we do for Kriyas HaTorah. So for some reason, this is what we have over here. We have Maimon Har Sinai of two parts, and for some reason, Kriyas HaTorah is being defined and being, you know, sort of driven to be modeling the second part of Maimon Har Sinai, and learning the Beis Medrash, which we could have easily made it like the second part. No, learning the Beis Medrash is modeling the first part of Maimon Har Sinai, which is Moshe and the Metargim talking, the Hashem and Moshe Rabbeinu, or the Rebbe and the Metargim talking to each other. So the question is why? Why would Chazal do this? What's this divide? You got the question? Okay. So let's go back. We said, so, Achas Dibur Lakim Shtaim Zushamati. The Rabbanu Shem said, Anoichi V'lo Yilecha Mipi HaGvur Shemana. Let me ask you a question. So these two parts of Maimon Har Sinai, all Aser Dibris were of two parts. Like, how did it break down practically? How did it happen? So I would say, based on these Chazals, that Anoichi V'lo Yilecha, we heard from Hashem. And the rest of the Dibras we heard, Moshe, Torah Tzivulonu Moshe. So I would say that this is probably what happened. When it came to a Noichiv, what was the conversation between Hashem and Moshe? Like, what did they say to each other that was such a private Zach that everyone, you know, that that it had to be a private conversation between the two of them? The answer is, Anoich V'li'ilcha. Now, it happens to be when the Rabban Hashem said that to Moshe, we all heard it too. The Rambam, in fact, says this. The Rambam, in the beginning of Hilchus, towards the end of Hilchus Yisari HaTorah, when the Rambam talks about how we know that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is accurate, so the Rambam says, you know how we know Moshe's Nevuah is accurate? Is because when Moshe and the Rabban Hashem were having a conversation by Har Sinai, and the Rabban Hashem was saying, Moshe, like this is, you know, this is what you should convey. Like we heard Hashem say that. We heard Hashem say to Moshe. So we all had a nevuah knowing that the Rabban Hashem is talking to Moshe. So the way Maimon Har Sinai breaks down is as follows. There's two ways in which we receive the Torah, the two stages. There's one part of how we receive the Torah, which was Anoichi V'li'ilcha. How did we receive the Torah like that? We received it, we heard it directly from Hashem. But who was Hashem talking to? Hashem wasn't talking to us directly, He was talking to Moshe. We heard what Hashem was saying to Moshe. And that's how we heard it from Hashem. And then there was the rest of the eight Dibros, which is that the Hashem said it to Moshe, but that part we didn't hear from Hashem. That part was Moshe Rabbeinu turning around and telling us what Hashem told him. So let's understand. Based on that, what we now have is a little bit more of a clear, we could ask the question more clearly. The difference between the learning in the Beis Medrash and the type of Maimon, the part of Maimon Har Sinai that is being modeled after, versus Kriyas HaTorah and the part of Maimon Har Sinai that's being modeled after, the way to say it would be as follows. That the learning of the Beis Medrash is being modeled after the way Anoicha V'Layilcha was received, which is, and that part of Maimon Har Sinai, which is Anoicha V'Layilcha, is Kol Kulai, Moshe, and the Rabban Hashem talking to each other. So if you're in the headspace of Anoicha V'Layilcha and you're thinking Maimon Har Sinai, what does Maimon Har Sinai look like? Maimon Har Sinai looks like Moshe and the Rabban Hashem talking to each other. That's what Maimon Har Sinai looks like. That's it. And so the Maimon in the Beis Medrash is in that moichin of Anoicha V'Layilcha. And therefore, when the Pasuk says, Moshe and Elokim, they have the same voice, what was the scenario? The scenario was Moshe and the Rabban Hashem talking to each other, they have the same voice. What happens after that? As far as the moichin of Anoicha V'Layilcha, that's not part of Har Sinai. That's not the inyan of Anoicha V'Layilcha. So the matziv in the Beis Medrash is Anoicha V'Layilcha. And because of that, when Chazal are trying to organize the situation of the Beis Medrash to model Maimon Har Sinai, what Maimon Har Sinai? The Maimon of Har Sinai of Anoicha V'Layilcha. Whereas Kriyas HaTorah, what part of Maimon Har Sinai is it being modeled after? The way that we receive the other eight Dibros. The other eight Dibros was not us eavesdropping a conversation between Hashem and Moshe. That was, we don't know what's going on over there. And Moshe is conveying to us the eight Dibros that he heard from Hashem. And that's what Kriyas HaTorah is modeled after. So when Kriyas HaTorah is in the Moichin of the other eight Dibros. And as far as the other eight Dibros are concerned, what does it mean? So then the Pasuk of Moshe Vilkimen and Bakol, as far as the eight Dibros are concerned, means that when Moshe conveyed the message as the microphone, it was the same volume that the Rabban Hashem spoke to him as well. So that's how Kriyas HaTorah is modeled too. So this is what's going on over here. You have two situations in life where we're trying to experience a Maimon Har Sinai. We have a matziv in the Beis Medrash where guys are learning from the Rebbe, and you have Kriyas HaTorah. And Maimon Har Sinai was of two parts. There's the Maimon Har Sinai of Anoicha V'Layilcha, and there's the Maimon Har Sinai of the other eight Dibros. Learning the Beis Medrash is being modeled after the Maimon Har Sinai of Anoicha V'Layilcha, and the Kriyas HaTorah is being modeled after the Maimon Har Sinai of the other eight Dibros. So now the question becomes, okay, so what is it about Anoicha V'Layilcha that's more of a match with the learning in the Beis Medrash as opposed to the other eight Dibros, which is more of a match to Kriyas HaTorah? That's now the question. But by the way, from this model itself, we already are beginning to see that the eight Dibros versus Anoicha V'Layilcha, it's not like they just happen to be the first two. It's a different system. There's an Inyan, there's a Maimon Har Sinai of Anoicha V'Layilcha, And those dibros were conveyed to us through us overhearing a conversation between Hashem and Moshe. And that's viewed as its own Maimed Har Sinai. Ad kedei kach, that the halachas that it governed Rebbe Talmidim in the Beis Medrash, that's what Maimed Har Sinai was. That's all Maimed Har Sinai was. But then you have a different system, a different Maimed Har Sinai, so to speak, which are the other eight dibros. And that's the lens of Kriyas HaTorah. So we asked the question. Torah Tzivul Adam Moshe, Torah means 611, right? Which is minus the first two dibros. So to a certain degree, Torah Tzivul Adam Moshe is like the rest of the eight dibros, right? So to speak. Except for the first 2 years. Torah Sashem Tumi Meshivas Nafesh, Machkim is passive, whatever, you know, whatever the pasuk is. So Torah is complete. The answer is, don't think of the 613 as there's 613. Obviously, when you have 613 mitzvahs, so you got to have a one and a two. Happens to be, and Eichel is one and a two. No. The way to view it is that Torah has a soul and a body. There's Iris and Kalim. The Iris of Torah, the soul of Torah, is that first Maimon Har Sinai. There was a unique, individual, distinct Maimon Har Sinai for an Eichel Yilcha. And then there was another distinct Maimon Har Sinai, so to speak. I'm not saying two different times, but you understand. Another Maimon Har Sinai for the other eight dibros. The way to think of it conceptually is another, that's not two Torahs. The point is it's one Torah that somehow the eight dibros are trying to concretize, they're trying to become a keli for, a vessel for, to somehow contain the light of a Neichav Eliyelecha. Think of it as the Rabbanu Shalom created the human being as also 613 limbs and sinews. So just like by a human being, there's the body and soul. Torah also has this body and soul quality to it, or this. I'll explain in a moment what this means more. But this is the way to think of it. It's not the pshat that 611 is missing. The entire function of 611 is to give a body to the two of Anechav Eliyelecha. So to that degree, when it's functioning properly, which is 611 as a home for Anechav Eliyelecha, that's complete. That's perfect. It's not like you're talking about a page that has a list of 613 and the first two lines are ripped off. You're talking about an organic mitzias. You're talking about Torah being viewed as multi-layered. There's a layer of Torah which is called the Neichav Eliyelecha, and then on top of that, giving more of a concrete expression that, as we'll explain, are the other eight dibros. So the other eight dibros, which are defined as the word Torah Tzivul Lanu Moshe, it's not missing. It's saying that this is the outer layer of Torah, and its function is to give a body, so to speak, and to concretize the concept and the inyan of Anechav Eliyelecha, which is, as we'll see in a second, is more, you know, more ethereal by nature. So that's what Torah is. It's not missing. Adrabba. If you look at a body, you know, and of course, a body by itself can't function on its own without a neshama. But you have if you look at a living person and there's a neshama inside the body and it's healthy and well and the person's doing well, do you say the person's missing? Person's not missing. The body is missing because it's only a body. And yeah, of course, but it's 100% complete because what a body is a vessel for the soul. That's what it is. So of course, it's not the soul, but it's exactly what it's supposed to be. So what is? So again, this is the idea. So the way to think. So again, let's go back. So when this is what we're trying to convey to the child: Shema Yisrael and Torah Tzivul Adonai Moshe. We're not just trying to find a remez to 613. There could be much simpler remezim to that. What we're trying to convey to the child is that Torah is comprised of two parts. There's the first aspect of Maimon Har Sinai, which is sort of the soul of Torah, as we'll explain in a moment, which is Anechav Eliyelecha, which is what the Matzav in the Beis Medrash is modeling after. And then you have on top of that, as a body for that, and as Kalim for that, you have Torah Tzivul Adonai Moshe, Marasha Kila, that's Shema Yisrael, right? And then a body for that is Torah Tzivul Adonai Moshe. That's how what we're conveying to the child. We're not just giving a list. We're conveying the what Torah is, what Torah looks like. That it's multi-layered, that there's the Pnimi, which is Shema Yisrael, and the outer essence, which is Torah Tzivul Adonai Moshe. So what does this mean? And why? So let's understand. So what is it about Kriyas HaTorah that models, that's the outer layer of Torah Tzivul Adonai Moshe, and why is the learning of the Beis Medrash more Anechav Eliyelecha? So the answer is very pashut. What's the difference between Kriyas HaTorah and learning in the Beis Medrash? So there's a number of differences, but one of the most basic elemental differences is Kriyas HaTorah is Torah Shebichsav. It's the written Torah. What's the written Torah? What is it? Static. If anyone, everyone knows in the shul, right? Except when it's a bar mitzvah. Bar Kari makes, adds an extra whatever, yeah, everyone loses their mind, right? Because Torah Shebichsav, the way it came down, is unchanging. It's absolutely the way it is. It cannot change. What's the inyan of the Beis Medrash? The whole inyan of the Beis Medrash is constant change and constant renewal. Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh is constantly shape-shifting, constantly evolving, being absorbed differently. Torah Shebichsav, see, you know, an example. Most places can hold that if a person just reads Torah Shebichsav without understanding it, you're still Mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. What does that tell you about Torah Shebichsav? That tells you that the essence of Torah Shebichsav is not about how you perceive it. It's concrete by itself. These are the letters, these are the words. I couldn't care less whether you understand it or not. You're still Mekayim the mitzvah, just read it. Not so with Torah Shebaal Peh. You're not Mekayim the mitzvah of Bepashtas. You're not Mekayim the mitzvah of Torah Shebaal Peh, of Talmud Torah, if you just read Gemara without understanding it. Why? Because the nature of Torah Shebaal Peh is how you perceive it, how you absorb it. What is this? What do these words mean to you? And by its very definition, Kishem Shein Partzu Feim Shavis, Kachin Detaim Shavis. There is no possibility for everyone to understand something the same way. What I'm saying right now, I understand it in a certain way, and each one of you understand it, hopefully, a little bit, in your way too. That's the nature of Torah Shebaal Peh. Not only is it something that is dynamic in terms of increasing in nature, it's Chedushei Torah. Besides the fact that there's Chedushim, the very nature of Torah Shebaal Peh is not static. Because the kiyum of Talmud of Torah Shebaal Peh is the way you understand the Mishnah and the way I understand the Mishnah. And even if we're both reading the same explanation, but the way you're, you know, what do they call it? Stuff in your brain?
Wires.
Neurons, whatever. The way you understand it is different than the way I understand it. It's just the way of, and that's what Talmud Torah Shebaal Peh is. This is the difference between Anochi V'Yilecha, which is Shema Yisrael Shema Kedesh Shem Echad, the soul, the essence, the light of Torah, and the casing, the way in which it becomes concretized, which are the other eight dibras. What's the difference? The other eight dibras are very concrete. Whether you're up to the level of keeping Shabbos completely or not, but Zochras Yom HaShabbos L'Kadshei means what it is. Whether you live up to it or not, that's what the Pasuk says. It is what it is. Kabbat is Viva Simecha. Again, like the Gemara says, there's unbelievable madrigas in it. But at the end of the day, it is what it is. It's just a matter of living up to that. But what does a noichiv aliyah mean? Chazal say that a noichi isn't even a command. What's a noichi? I am Hashem, your God. Anoich v'li'ilcha is by its very definition, I'm not saying subjective in terms of whether it's true or not, but it's subjective in terms of its reality in the soul. What does it mean, emuna? That's the difference between anoich v'li'ilcha and the other mitzvahs. It's not a mitzvah maisis. Chazal say about anoich v'li'ilcha, again, that's what's unique about it. Anoichi, when Hashem said anoichi, nitka divrei Torah b'libam. The words of Torah became implanted in the Jewish heart. When Hashem said, Lo yilecha neker yetzar milibam, the yetzar became uprooted from the Jewish heart. That's not a description of a command. That's a description of a metzias, of a reality, of emuna. But emuna, by its very definition, is something that's completely dynamic. By its very nature, it's dynamic. It's also a secret. See, what's it? Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebaal Peh, one of the defining features is also, one is, the Gemara says about Torah Shebichsav, it's munachas pekeren zavis. It's sitting in the corner. Anyone can read it. Torah Shebaal Peh, Chazal said in the Gemara Gidin, that the ultimate sign, the ultimate proof of the Am HaNivchar is who holds Torah Shebaal Peh. Because Torah Shebaal Peh is a sight. Torah Shebaal Peh is a nechiv aliyilacha. What does it mean? What does it mean to believe in Hashem? How much emuna? That's by its very definition. It's let me explain deeper. The mitzvah maisius, the physical mitzvahs of leisirtzach, leisignai, whatever it is, those are mesuyim. Those are finite. By the very definition, they're specific. Either you live up to it or you don't. But anoichav aliyilacha, which means hiskashrus to elikus, Since the Rabbanu Shem is Ein Sof, the experience of the mitzvahs by its very definition Ein Sof. It's fundamentally unlimited. It's fundamentally dynamic. It has to be such. So then the experience of the Beis Medrash is what? Is dynamic by its nature. So what type of harsina is it modeling after? Kriyas HaTorah is not like that. Fakir. Not only is Kriyas HaTorah Torah Shemichsav, in which case it's static, and therefore it's speaking to the second Maimon Har Sinai, where it's talking to the Ches, the part of the Torah, the Ches Dibros, Torah Tziv Elonu Moshe, which is really very like down to earth and very rigid and so on, like this is what it is. More than that, where did Kriyas HaTorah, why do we have Kriyas HaTorah? So the Gemara says, because Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, and they went 3 days without learning, and because of that, they became spiritually weakened, and Mela Amalek attacked us. So in order to make sure that never happens again, so Kriyas HaTorah was instituted, right? In which case, you never go 3 days without learning, right? Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos, you never go 3 days without learning. So what type, what part of the person is Kriyas HaTorah speaking to? What part of the person is Kriyas HaTorah for? The part of the person that could theoretically become weak. The part of the person that theoretically could become susceptible to attack from a Amalek. That's not the Anoichiv Aliyelecha. The part of you that heard Anoichiv Aliyelecha can't be attacked by a Amalek. The whole Inyan, the whole part of a person that could be attacked by a Amalek is the part of the person that's called the Taret Sivalanu Moshe part, the other eight divers. And that's the part that needs reinforcement called Kriyas HaTorah. So Kriyas HaTorah is that. But here's the great irony. Torah Tziva, Torah means what? Torah is the 611, that's the other eight. Torah Tziva Lanu Moshe. 1 second. I thought, so that pasuk, okay, I understand. So Moshe Rabbeinu is the one that conveys to us the 611. But here's the so fine, I guess that's how you could teach it. But let's go to Kriyas HaTorah for a second. So Kriyas HaTorah models that, right? That's what we're saying. Who established Kriyas HaTorah? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu established Kriyas HaTorah. Right? That's what Gemara says. That Moshe Rabbeinu established Kriyas HaTorah was reinforced by Ezra Sefer later on. He developed the halachas a little bit more. Moshe Rabbeinu made Kriyas HaTorah. Who gives us, when you think Torah Shebichsav, what name pops up? What do you associate Torah Shebichsav with? Moshe. So this isn't this ironic? 1 second. I'm telling you until now that Kriyas HaTorah is speaking to more the eight divers, which is more the part that's susceptible to attack. The part that is not Moshe Rabbeinu Dick. Again, let's go back. Anoich v'liyilecha. How do we hear Anoich v'liyilecha? We heard that, we overheard that, but who was Hashem talking to? It was Moshe. It means that the part of a Jew that's able to pick up on Anoich, let me go back for a second. The part of a Jew that's able to hear Anoich v'liyilecha, the part of a Jew that hears that and understands that, is able to receive Anoich v'liyilecha, is the part of you that's a spark of Moshe. That's what it means. What does it mean to overhear a conversation between Hashem and Moshe? It means because Moshe Rabbeinu is Moshe Rabbeinu, but every single Jew has this piece of Moshe Rabbeinu inside of them. So let's go a little bit deeper. So this distinction between Anoch V'Liyelecha and how it was received versus the other eight Dibris, Klal Yisrael received both, but here's the difference. The part of us that receives Anoch V'Liyelecha is the Moshe Rabbeinu part. And that's how we received it. It was Moshe Rabbeinu talking, hearing something from Hashem, and we heard it too. But that, because the part of us that's the dynamic, the part of us which is Amuna, that's called Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu, Chazal said, the Gemara says in Megillah that Zayin Adar Mace, Haman didn't know that Zayin Adar is Mace, that he knew, but he didn't know that Zayin Adar is Noilet. So before Hashem is, something like this, what I mean, that part of he just jumped out, he ran out of shear exactly at that moment. Like, what is it? Why did he know that? Says Ratzadik, no, he didn't know. He knew that was his birthday, but he thought the birthday comes before you die. He didn't realize the Zayin Adar Mace, and at that moment, Zayin Adar Noilad in the pnimius of every single Jew. So Moshe Rabbeinu lives on as a spark inside of every Jew, and that's the part that heard Anoich V'Liyilecha, and that's the part that still hears Anoich V'Liyilecha. Elamai, the eight divers, is what is the part of us that's not Moshe Rabbeinu Dick. And that's the part that needs reinforcement of Kriyas HaTorah. But here's the irony. Who made Kriyas HaTorah? Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu makes Kriyas HaTorah. When you're hearing Kriyas HaTorah, that's a takana of Moshe. A takana of Moshe means that when Chazal make a takana, it's not stam like they came up with an idea. This is their soul, isn't that's their chiddush. That's their chiddush, that's their Torah. So when you're talking about a takana of Moshe, it means this is the essence of Moshe. But the essence of Moshe is a thought of Noach v'le'ilach of Arai. When we heard it from his conversation. Why didn't we hear the other eight dibras from a conversation with Moshe? Because that's not Moshe Dik. But yet, Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's what Kriyas HaTorah is for. But yet, Moshe Rabbeinu is the one that establishes Kriyas HaTorah. So this is the great secret of Emunah. And this is ultimately what Kriyas HaTorah... See, here's the great side, which is, how does Kriyas HaTorah reinforce the other eight dibras? How does it do so? How does it do so? So just to hear a clap again, I told you, don't, you know. The way the eight dibras are reinforced is by realizing that, one second, even the other eight dibras is still sealed with the seal of Moshe. It means the ultimate tachlis is to realize that the soul of Torah, which is Anech V'Li'ilucha, is not supposed to be separated from the body of the other eight dibras. The other eight dibras are supposed to be seen as ways of concretizing and of making tangible the truth of Anech V'Li'ilucha. In other words, all of Yiddishkeit is ultimately just Anech V'Li'ilucha. And in truth, this is how the Gaonim say it. The Gaonim, there's a tradition from the Gaonim, they said that all 613 can be found in Targ Mitzvahs, and all Targ Mitzvahs can be found in Anech V'Li'ilucha. What does that mean? Because until now we're creating these models, like there's two in Yonim. There's Anech V'Li'ilucha, which is dynamic and secretive and mysterious, and Moshe Rabbeinu Dik, and then you have the other eight, which is the body of Torah, and that's very practical, down to earth, very limited and rigid, and that's the part that a person can fail, and that needs a little bit reinforcement, Kriyas HaTorah. But Kriyas HaTorah itself is a Moshe Rabbeinu Dik. The answer is because that's exactly what the reinforcement that's exactly how you reinforce the other eight dibras, by reorienting your perspective to realize that the other eight dibras are also just concretizing the emunah of Anech V'Li'ilucha. And then all of a sudden that body is not dead, that body is one and the same as the soul. And just as the soul is impermeable to failure, so too is the body, because it's one and the same. This is the secret of Shavuos. The secret of Shavuos is to celebrate one Maimed Har Sinai. That one Maimed Har Sinai is both Anech V'Li'ilucha and the other eight dibras, because the other eight dibras are just concretizing and giving a more relatable expression of Anech V'Li'ilucha. But every time that a Jew does a mitzvah, what you're saying is and what you're expressing is that there's a part of you that's Anech V'Li'ilucha. And every time a person stays away from a Lois Essay, what you're saying is and what you're establishing is that there's a part of you that sees the reality of L'Yilucha L'Machem Apana. And therefore, ultimately, every mitzvah, Ratzalik writes Mefurish, therefore, in the Kutim Mamorim, he says in Mefurish, that all of Yiddishkeit ultimately boils down to just many eitzes, 611 eitzes, in order to bring out the point that Anoich V'Li'ilucha, that's it. That's what Yiddishkeit is. And when we view it as such, then all of a sudden, then the strength of Anoich V'Li'ilucha and the fact that it can't be attacked by a Molech, by its very definition, its sight, it's secretive, it can't be attacked. That strength is also seen in the body of the eight dibras, and then the weakness of Anoich V'Li'ilucha in the fact that doesn't have expression, and therefore because of that it could easily go into hiding, is then solidified by the other eight dibras, and they help each other. The eight dibras gives a concrete expression to Anoich V'Li'ilucha that on its own it doesn't have. And Anoich V'Li'ilucha give a depth and a meaning and a sort of a mystery to the other eight dibras that on its own won't have. And that's this is why on Shavuos, who are the two tzaddikim that we celebrate on Shavuos? So Moshe and David. Moshe and David, right? David HaMelech Ziyartzeit is on Shavuos. What's Moshe and David? So Moshe and the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov is Arishal Mashiach. Moshe and David together equals Begrashim Mashiach. Because this is the site. Moshe Rabbeinu means Anoich V'Li'ilucha. David is the Melech of Klal Yisrael. That's down to this Malchus. That's practical. That's down to earth. That's limited by its very definition. That's the other eight dibras. The Yichud of the two of them. That's the Chag HaShavuos. That's the secret of what Shavuos is. I mentioned this before. According to the Ari HaKadosh, what's the Tikkun? What are we being misakin on Shavuos? So, without going into detail, so we know that the neshama is every spiritual system is made of 10 parts, right? Keser, all the way till Malchus. So, without going into making this complicated, but during the 7 weeks of Sfira, so the Riyah Kaddish says that we're being misakin the middle spheres of Chokhmah, Bina, and Das. Das takes 2 weeks, and then Chesed, Gevur, Tiferes. What's still missing is Keser and Netzach Hayad Nisayid. So those two extremes is what we're misakin on Shavuos night. Shavuos night. And then after it's all complete, after Shavuos night, then you can take it to the next level by Shavuos morning, davening, v'chulu. Why? So it's such ironic zach. Why would we dafka, like, you know, it's like when, you know, if you have like a kid, you know, so they don't like the crust, right? So you go to the middle. So like all Sfira Simra, we don't like the two edges, we just go directly to the middle. We're like, you know, like in a donut, you just want the filling in the middle. The other two, Keser and Netzach HaYisayid, we wait till Shavuos. That's the secret of Shavuos. The secret of Shavuos is that there's no distinction between the highest, which is Moshe, and the lowest, which is David HaMelech, Netzach HaYisayid. And that's the site. And Fakert, the bottom needs the top in order to become something of depth. And the top needs the bottom to become more concrete. And that's how Maimon Har Sinai was given. Of these two parts, in the shilav of Arech V'Lilcha and the other eight divers. That's what you have by the base medrash and Kriyas HaTorah, and that's the set of what we're saying. That's the irony of it, right? That Torah Shebichsav, although it's concrete and we're saying it's like static, but Torah Shebichsav is Torah Moshe. Torah Shebal Peh, which is dynamic and secretive and so on, that's not what we receive from Moshe. I mean, we receive the keys from Moshe Rabbeinu, but ultimately that's something that Klal Yisrael develops. And Befrat David HaMelech. Chazal say, Hashem Imai, Halacha Kamais B'chol Mok, and David HaMelech meant Tarash Baal Peh. So this is the irony, right? So the Yilacha is Moshe, right? And that's modeled in the Beis Medrash. But what's being learnt there is Tarash Baal Peh, which is more Davidic. And Kriyas HaTorah, which is like static and rigid, which is more David HaMelechic, in that way of Malchus, you know, and therefore it's weak and needs reinforcement. We're learning Torah Shebichsav, which is static and rigid, but yet is Torah Moshe, because that's exactly the Yichud that needs to be made. Anoich V'Lilcha needs the other eight, and the other eight needs Anoich V'Lilcha, and only then together is what Yiddishkeit really is. Hashem should bless us, talk of that. As we get to Harsina, we talk of the Shvizach and the Makab of the Torah, B'Simchul, B'Pnimius, in a way that we hear all 10 Dibras, B'Pi HaGavura, B'Basachas, B'Yiskol, Tzadik, B'Racham, B'Mir, B'Meinu, Amen. Amen.